Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
So, it's Christmas Eve, and here we are celebrating with Mom Talk Radio. Wow, how did it get to be Christmas Eve already? I love Christmas Eve. I don't know about you. I don't know what your traditions are, but our tradition is that you're just so excited all day long. Normally, there's one person in the family who's in a bedroom rapping frantically. It won't be me, I can assure you of that. And then we go to a 4 o'clock mass. So I don't want to say so that we get church out of the way, but 4 o'clock mass, it is fairly always crowded. So we have to be there because we have such a large family at like 3:30, quarter after three. But it's always great. I love like going to church and like seeing everybody that only comes once a year and their families and everything. And then from there, we go to my dad's house who has a huge party and a big buffet. And we normally are there singing Christmas carols till about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then we go home and everyone gets to open one gift before they go to bed. And my favorite thing is when everybody is asleep, I don't like to just have the gifts thrown under the tree. No, they have to be arranged and laid out a certain way. And I love to just sit there once all the gifts are under the tree and Santa has come. I love to just sit there and relish in the fact of how beautiful and calm it is. And that's normally around 1 o'clock in the morning. But I love Christmas Eve. So happy Christmas Eve to everyone who is celebrating tonight and to everyone who's still wrapping. Good luck. And to all of those of you who are putting toys together till 3 a.m. Oh, do I remember those days? Playmobil and Legos till 3 a.m. And you know how you forget the batteries and then it's just so anticlimactic for your children the next morning. Well, hopefully you're not one of those and you can actually enjoy a little time with me because we got a great show lined up. Dr. Sears is here. We saved like the best for one of the last shows of the year. And I'm so glad he's with us. We've got a packed show and it's all brought to you by Premama. If you are trying to conceive, pregnant, soon to be surprised that you're pregnant after the holidays, and you can't swallow those big horse pills, go to drinkpremama.com where you can see all of the prenatal and new mom supplements that they have. Really great way to get all the nutrients that you need in your diet. It makes a healthy baby and a happy mama. So when we return, we've got Dr. Sears here with us. And we're going to be talking about T5 wellness and the plan that you can make for 2018.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
When I had three babies in less than 20 months, my husband used to take his book and underline with a highlighter different pages in the book and leave it open for me on the kitchen counter to, I guess, help me survive that time when I thought it couldn't be any more hectic in my life until we had the fourth one. But I'm so excited to have Dr. William Sears with us today. He has been advising busy parents on how to raise healthy families for over 40 years. He's a father of 8 children, and he and his wife, Martha, have written more than 40 books and countless articles. I think this man needs no introduction, and I'm super excited to have him with us on Mom Talk Radio. He has the purpose of the interview as well is that he's just co-authored a book with Erin Sears Basil, or the Sears fifth child, as she likes to be called. We're so delighted to have Dr. Sears on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Dr. Sears. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you, Maria. It's a pleasure to be with you. And, you know, I love your story. And one of the reasons that we've written so many books is we feel so highly invested in all these babies. We doctors call it the helper's high. So perhaps something you read in our book can influence you and your children for the rest of their lives. And so thank you. It's a pleasure to be part of your family.
Well, we, you have been a part of our family for a long time. I think that my husband actually also, for the really important lessons, he would write on an index card and just leave them like in the bathroom laying around. And it's kind of fitting that today I actually got a message from one of my daughters who joined the Peace Corps this year. This will be my first Christmas without all my children. She joined the Peace Corps and she lives in Cameroon, Africa for the next 2.5 years. But she was so excited. She said to me, "Hey, Mom, guess what? I get to teach prenatal health to the village I'm in." And I'm like,
oh,
okay,
wow.
Well,
that's great. Like, you trained your husband well, Maria.
I guess so. And I guess the apple never falls far from the tree because that's what she's doing. And so, let me ask you something. What do you think is the biggest health challenge or even developmental challenge these days for parents? You've got to have seen changes in the last 40 years.
Some have been good. Some have been very unhealthy. And one of the biggest changes we've noticed in the past, say, 10 years is children are eating too much junk food and they're sitting too much. When we wrote our book, Dr. Sears T5 Wellness Plan, we realized that there were a lot of young people, say 20 to 40, our daughter's age group. Erin had an incredible transformation story that's outlined in the book, as I did too, that they needed, there were so many diets that they come and go, these fad diets, but what people needed, they needed a transformation, and that means an inside job. They needed to realize what they could eat, what they could do to treat themselves inside, to open their internal medicine pharmacy, that you have a drugstore inside. And so we wanted to give them a plan whereby they could transform their life, transform their health, and it would last a lifetime. So that's why we just wrote the book.
Well, and particularly at this time, a lot of people will set New Year's resolution. Yeah. And they'll say, okay, I'm going to give up this for, 2018, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to follow this diet. And I love the word that you're using, the transformation, because we hear the word lifestyle a lot, but it really is about transforming, I think. And I know our listeners are going to say, okay, well then tell me what I have to eat. So, because that seems to be where people go.
Yeah. And we make it very simple. See, the thing is, if it's simple and fun to read, if you laugh, you will learn and you'll remember. So we start with a big one-page illustration, the figure that says, you hold the five keys to your health in the palm of your hand. The first finger on your hand would be eat the 5S diet. We call it a smoothie. Shake a day keeps the doctor away. Salmon. Next is salads and spices. Next is smart snacking. And the fifth is science-based supplements. And then the next finger is graze on 5 mini meals a day. We call it Dr. Bill's rule of twos. Eat twice as often, eat half as much, and chew twice as long. And then the third finger would be move more.
Right, right.
Suffering from the sitting disease, which is a new disease in the doctor's dictionary. And then the fourth finger would be stress less. We give you 5 stress busters. And then the thumb on your hand, as you're looking at it, would be share with 5 friends. Because when you feel it, you want to share it. And when you share it, you continue feeling your transformation.
One of the things that I don't see on that little list there is breads and a whole bunch of sugars.
And I
have to tell you, last January, I actually stopped eating bread, and not only did I drop almost 25 pounds, but I feel so much better.
That's the key. See, what you just mentioned, Maria, when you feel it, you're going to continue it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. This is why we don't call it a diet, and we want to emphasize waist loss. In other words, inches around your waist is more important than what the scale shows. But we call it white out your diet, white bread, white sugar, all the added sugars. Now, this is really good news. Beginning next year, 2018, now food companies are going to have to put on the labels the amount of added sugar, not the natural sugars that are in fruit and veggies, but the sugars that the manufacturer added to make us eat more, because the sweeter it is, the more we're going to eat, the more we're going to buy.
So we only have a minute left, and I was just wondering, where can we find out more about your book and Aaron's book, the Sears T5 Wellness Plan? Where do we find that?
Well, it's available at your local bookstores. It's now available. It's just coming out on Amazon this week. So you can order on Amazon, and you can find more. We also take you to videos, and Aaron and I talking about the book and showing things. We play show and tell on our website, which would be drsearswellness.org. That's drsearswellness.org, and our website, askdrsears.com.
Well, it's been a delight, and thank you so much. Thank you for how you've impacted my family, and thank you for your continued efforts to impact families ongoing. So thank you very much. When we return, we're going to be turning our attention to TotOnThePot.com and its founder, Jackie Leverton.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
You know, potty training is one of those, potty training next to teaching your child how to drive has to be the most challenging thing a parent does in raising our children. But we have the pro here. Jackie Leverton is here. She has a website, TotOnThePot.com. You can find her on Twitter at TotOnThePot. And she's here to talk about that and get us ready for potty training in 2018. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you so much. I certainly appreciate the opportunity. And yes, I think that most parents would say that potty training is probably one of the hardest things they do have to overcome.
Yeah. I did three at once. So what are the things that we can do before they're ready for potty training to prepare them?
I think first of all, understanding that it is hard, and it's hard for parents because it involves pee and poop. But again, if you think about a toddler, it's very hard because for the first time, you're asking them to come out of their own comfort zone of being in a diaper for the last 2 years of their life. And now taking that off and putting them into a very new environment that they're not used to. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing that we have to understand. It's a huge adjustment for toddlers. From there, the next thing is potty training has a lot of steps. They have to be done in the right order, and there's only one acceptable outcome, and that is the poop and pee going into the potty. So again, I think understanding that from a two-year-old's point of view, that's a lot. And I think just acknowledging that is a very good first step.
Yeah, but there's always a power struggle that goes on. Can you talk about how to manage that?
And again, I would honestly say that I think the power struggle as parents is, again, realizing that it is something so new and different. Tot on the Pot, one of the things that we've incorporated into Tot on the Pot is a children's book. It tells them in a very fun, whimsical way how to use the potty, and a little bit about their own body. Knowledge is power, even when it comes to potty training. So again, if you can help talk to them at a two-year-old level and help them understand what's happening, I think that helps alleviate some of the frustration because, again, when a toddler knows what to expect, it just makes things easier.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit more about the book.
So the book talks about a lot about, again, it shows pictures of a toddler using the potty and how that works. But then it talks about, oh, I'm sitting here playing and I feel an urge. And that urge is in my body's cue telling me that I need to use the potty. So that's sort of what we have tried to do in the book itself. Our Tot on the Pot doll is something that we, you know, encourage kids and parents to use beforehand. You can take the doll, you can play with the doll, you can imitate with the doll. The child can talk to the doll and explain to the doll how to use the potty. They can read the book together. Parents can read the book together. So, again, the more information you can provide at a two-year-old level, I think the whole process just at that point becomes easier.
Yeah, absolutely. What about people, use this method with M&Ms and rewards. What are your feelings around that?
Well, and I think that Mr. Rogers said it best in saying that play is often talked about as if it were relief from serious learning. But for children, play is serious learning. And what we've done is we've said, hey, you know what? The way kids learn best is through play. We've created reward activities that they have their doll. The doll has its own potty with little activity cards in it. And they're activity cards that put no prep work on the parent, but it's cards that once you have success on the potty, the children get to pull the card from the pot, and it's a little written activity on it. And again, it's all the power of play and imagination and getting to do fun little things with a parent that can take anywhere from 15 seconds to, you know, 5 minutes if that's what you chose to do. But again, they're written out in a manner where kids get to make funny faces or dance or put toilet paper rolls on their head. But they're rewards that don't start bad habits. They don't involve food. They don't involve bribes. They don't involve a trip to McDonald's. They involve immediate rewards that, again, in theory, will encourage a child to be excited to get back to the potty.
Well, I want to make sure we get this in. The website is totonthepot.com. Jackie and all of her knowledge can be found there. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I know that a lot of moms will benefit from your wisdom when it comes to potty training. When we return, we're going to turn to the author of Cute Kidbits, Funny Conversations Kids Share with Their Pediatrician. Stay tuned, and we're going to have a lot of laughs with this one.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. This is Mom Talk Radio. Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Okay, you guys, I promised you a funny segment, and here it is. Have you ever thought about what your children say to their pediatrician? Well, one doctor actually put it into a book, Dr. Jay Rabinowitz. He's the author of Cute Kidbits, Funny Conversations Kids Share with Their Pediatrician. He is a senior pediatrician at Parker Pediatrics and Adolescents in Parker, Colorado. Lucky him. Probably has a wonderful view from his office. And he is a very smart man who, when he's not caring for our children, likes to golf, ski, exercise, and read. So welcome, Doctor, to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm very pleased to be with you.
Well, thank you. So what is the funniest thing that a child has ever said to you?
Oh, my gosh. The funniest thing, I'm not sure we're going to be able to say on the air because the FCC might get on our case here. However, it's in Chapter 17 of my book, and it happens to deal with a 3-year-old who came with his mother and 6-year-old, whose physical it was, and he was a nuisance. He was running all over the room, and I tried to find something to keep him a little calmer, so I had him look out the window, and I said, tell me if you see any trucks. Well, little did I know that he had a speech impediment. And let's just say that TR came out as and a whole segment came after that. And we won't say anything more about that other than to say it's in the book. It's extremely funny.
Oh, that is very funny. So why did you, you know, you must have heard enough that you wanted to put it all in a book. I mean, why did you write the book?
You're right. You know, kids do say the funniest things, or as Arndt Linkletter said some 60 years ago, kids say the darndest things. And in the pediatrician's office, maybe due to excitement or possibly fear, they even say more fascinating things, and they're often very humorous. So I'm not really good at remembering jokes, so I didn't want to forget some of these real zingers that the kids told me, so I started writing them down. For many, many years, I wrote a newsletter for my patients and sent it out quarterly with different articles and announcements and informative articles, but I also included several of the quotes that I had accumulated over those several months. Well, parents kept telling me that they liked the newsletter, but they immediately, the first thing they did when they got it was look for the quotes because they liked those so much. So I said, if everybody's telling me how much they like those, why don't I compile them and put them in a book? So I did.
Well, that's really awesome. So I remember going to the pediatrician when I was little, and it was probably one of the most scariest things that I can remember from my childhood. How can moms prepare their children for that dreaded trip when you know it's going to end up in shots?
Well, it doesn't always end up in shots. However, it's a great question. Well, I think what you should do, particularly if they're old enough, three and over, let's say, let them know the appointment ahead of time. Too many parents just pick them up at school and take them to the doctors, and they had no idea they were going there. And I think it's best to know ahead of time. It's also important to tell them why it's important that they're going to the doctor, what it's for. And I think kids are smart. They'll understand that there's a reason for this. Parents could role play ahead of time, too. You know, a doctor's kid if they're young, and almost all the kids have one of those. And I also think it's okay to tell them if they're going to get a shot rather than wait until the last minute and frighten them. Now, there are certain kids, however, that maybe it's best that you don't tell them ahead of time because they may panic. Mm-hmm. However, the majority of kids, I think, can handle that, and I think they become better prepared. And there's not shots at most visits. There are at certain ages. But the kids are actually very excited to come, and a lot of them look forward to their annual checkup. So I think it's mainly an exciting and fun thing for kids to come.
You know, my kids hated going to the pediatrician, mainly because they didn't like sitting in the waiting room. Like, it just seemed very uncomfortable with all the rest of the kids, particularly the sick kids. And so I'm wondering how can you make that experience a little bit better?
Well, in our office, we have a well side and an acute side, which is basically the sick side. So that helps a little bit. The other thing is, hopefully, and I know we get a bad reputation sometimes for being late, but hopefully doctors could be on time. We're pretty much almost done, always on time in our office. So when patients come, they get roomed pretty quickly and they get seen pretty quickly. And I think if that happens, then there's not much waiting time and everybody's happy.
There you have it. So tell me a little bit about where we can buy your book and how moms can get it.
Right now it's for sale on Amazon, so if they just go to Amazon and put the name of my book in, they'll be able to find it there. Otherwise, the only other place is my office. For most people, that won't work.
So we're not all lucky to live in Colorado right now. Real quickly, we just have 2 minutes left. What are some of the hottest issues right now that moms have when they're coming into your office?
That's a great question, too. There's a number of things that come and go, but for right now, screen time is a hot issue. We're trying to convince parents that they don't need to have their kids on the screen too often. And you know about it in teenagers a lot with this social media and video games. But also, we see a lot of the 2-year-olds and 1-year-olds even and 3-year-olds, just to keep them busy, they're often on phones and iPads. And we try to limit that time. Another hot issue would be sports overuse injuries. Kids, unfortunately, are playing sports all year, the same sport often all year. And that leads to a lot of physical overuse as well as mental overuse. So that's an issue that comes up. I think this time of year, the flu vaccine, because it's that time of year. I recommend the flu vaccine. Some parents choose not to get it for their children. But I look at it as an insurance policy. Most years you won't get the flu. But if you do get it, it may help you from being really sick and miserable or possibly worse things. And it's not very expensive, so it's a pretty good insurance policy.
I really appreciate those insights, because I think so many moms are going into the pediatrician's office, and sometimes they don't really know the questions to ask. I appreciate you being here. I want to remind everyone, cutekidbits.com is the website. There you'll find the book, or go to Amazon. Hey, it's not too late. You can order it for the new year and start off with a little sense of humor. Thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we'll have to have you back when all the spring and summer illnesses are coming to moms and dads, so you can give us your wisdom on that. Have a great 2018. You know, as we move into the new year, there's so many things that that we would like to, I guess, I don't want to say correct in our children, but things that we'd like to focus and work on. One of them is listening. And when we return, we're going to have the author of Listen, 5 Simple Tools to Meet Your Everyday Parenting Challenges.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
The author of Listen, 5 Simple Tools to Make Your Everyday Parenting Challenges. And Patty Whiffler is here. She has 2 grown sons and lives in California. And during her 40 years of work with parents and children, she's developed a simple but powerful parenting approach that promotes optimum child development. She founded the nonprofit Hand in Hand Parenting in 1989. And since then, she has sold and distributed thousands of copies of Listening to Children booklets in multiple languages. So welcome, Patty, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks very much, Maria. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you. So tell me a little bit about the hand listening tools that you present and how it helps moms.
Sure. Okay. Hand in Hand is all about helping mothers and children get a better connection with each other. And the reason we're interested in helping moms and children really connect is that when children feel connected, that means they feel sort of seen, they feel close, they feel safe, they feel like, you know, you're there for them, you've got their back. They don't need you every moment, but, you know, there's somebody there kind of keeping an eye out for them. When children can feel that, they really can, they can share, they can flex, they can be creative, they're happy-go-lucky kids. And when children don't feel that, learning turns off and cooperation turns off and whining and difficulties turn on. And so, you know, the secret to our parenting approach is that we show parents simple but very, very reliable ways to connect with your children. And it takes a little time, but the investment you pour in terms of, you know, time spent working on connection with your child using these simple listening tools, what you get back is fun. You get back feeling really good about your parenting. You get back a kid who, you know, draws pictures with flowers and hearts and gives them to you because they love you.
Explain the science or reasoning or psychology behind whining, because that just, I think, is something that ultimately will drive a mom berserk. Like, even the best of us cannot endure the whining.
Whining means that your child does not feel connected to you. They see you there. Your body is maybe close by. They're you know, and you're trying to help them, but they can't feel connected. And the reason they can't is kind of emotional static running around inside of them that has sent their judgment off track. So they can't tell that their life is decent at that time. So what you need to know is you've got a good, cooperative, loving child inside of that little whining person there. And if you reach for them, there's several ways to reach for them. One is simply to say a very confident, no, I can't give you that third cookie. I'm not going to. But when you do this, to really slow down, to touch them, to look them in the eye, and to say it without guilt, without, now I can't do that right now, without explanation, without a lecture. You just go, nope. can't do it right now. There'll be another time. And then the important part is the silence after that while you listen. And if you're listening, then a child isn't so distracted that they can't feel the upset inside of them. And pretty soon that upset comes out in crying or a tantrum. And that crying and tantrum is a cleansing process. It really gets the emotional static out of the child. The unfortunate part is you have to listen to all that stuff come out. But when you get used to that, when you become accustomed to the fact that a crying child is kind of having an emotional poop and that they really need to have in order to feel better, you listen and you just go, I know it's hard. And then you listen for another 2 minutes. And they ask you again for a cookie, and you go, no, not now. I'll stay here with you till it feels better. And then you listen for another several minutes, and by the time they're finished with their tantrum or their cry, which could be a long time because children don't get listened to very often, so there's kind of a lot of feelings stuck inside that are, you know, roiling behind that dam. So when you first start listening, there can be an awful lot of feelings that come out, but boy, when they're finished, they feel so close to you. They feel heard. They feel seen. They really don't give any, they don't pay any attention to the fact that they didn't get a cookie. They just feel better because they got all of that gunk out and because you respected them and kind of held the space for them while they did that.
What part does looking them in the eyes to play in this?
Well, I think that the main ways that human beings connect is through eye contact. And eye contact tells a child a lot about how you feel at that moment. And part of the trickiness of this is that if they start whining, then you start feeling really bad, and you don't feel good about them either at that point. So it's hard to give warm, you know, open eye contact. But eye contact tells them, I'm here, I'm not going away. You know, go ahead and tell me more. So your voice, your eye contact, your body language, and the things you say, all of those things, and touch, all of those things help a child feel connected. And you don't necessarily need to use them all, but eye contact is probably the most important. So if a child is whining and you're nursing your baby from across the room, you may not have to get up and go over there and, you know, get really close and look them in the eye. You can just look them in the eye and say, sweetie, you know, I can't let you have that cookie. No, you need to put it down.
Right.
And,
well,
and if they burst into tears, then you've got it going and you don't have to go hold their hand.
Well, unfortunately, we have to go, and I want to remind everyone, we have a link to the book on Mom Talk Radio. It's Listen, Five Simple Tools to Meet Your Everyday Parenting Challenges. Thank you so much, Patty, for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, The Feminist Guide to Raising a Little Princess.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I'm excited to have with us today Deborah Blackmore. She is the author of The Feminist Guide to Raising a Little Princess, How to Raise a Girl Who's Authentic, Joyful, and Fearless, Even If She Refuses to Wear Anything But a Pink Tutu. She has written many, many books and magazine articles, and she joins us here on Mom Talk Radio. So hello, Deborah.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Do you have daughters that didn't wear tutus or did wear tutus? Because I have two that would, one, and they were split down the middle. One would, one wouldn't.
I had, my oldest is a son, and we dressed him in gender neutral clothing until he was old enough to choose his own clothing. And then Mari came along, my daughter, and we gave her the same clothing. And when she was about 2.5, she just became very obsessed with anything pink and princessy. And she didn't want to leave the house without her tutu and her tiara. And she became very into the whole princess culture.
Did you write this book because you had a fear that she would be anything less than authentic, joyful, and fearless? Or did you just, what was the motivation?
I wrote the book because when she started going down the Disney princess rabbit hole, I resisted because I did have a fear that this interest came with a whole package of becoming passive and inauthentic and too interested in the beauty ideal and a whole list of things. And I started to read a lot on the subject. And mm-hmm. I also started to observe her and her obsession with pink and princesses. And in the end, I reached different conclusions than the ones I had gone into the experience with. So I wrote the book to talk about what I had learned along the way and why I ultimately let go of my princess resistance and just let her be pink.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting that you were so careful with your son to be gender neutral and letting him make that decision and go with the flow. But yet with your daughter, you had a fear of the direction she was going to go. I guess it's the outside element of it being Disney and princesses, probably.
Also, you know, just my own experience in adolescence as a young woman mm-hmm. and how many messages I received to kind of dim my spirit and quiet my own voice. And I didn't want her to go through that. Now, she's only six right. now, so I have no assurances of what's going to happen. But in the end, after everything I've read, and I also spoke to young girls, I also spoke to young women who used to affiliate as princess obsessed. I concluded that there's not really an association between the princess obsession and some of the problems that develop amongst girls in adolescence.
So what is that? Because we don't have a lot of time. What is what did you take away as one of the most important things that to be aware of when you are raising your daughters?
I think it's really important to let girls and boys express themselves, whoever they are, whoever they truly are. That's what we can honor. It doesn't mean we have to buy every product they want, but we can let go of our expectations of what we hoped our children would be and just let them be who they are.
Yeah, that's a really good lesson. I actually came across that lesson because two of my children are adopted, and you know, I had no preconceived notion of genetically what they were going to be. So that's such a really, really good lesson. What do you hope that your readers will take away from your book?
I hope they'll relax. If they're worried about the princess obsession, I hope that they'll relax. I hope that they will laugh because there's a lot of humor in the book. And I hope that they'll enjoy this phase if your daughter is going through it, because it can be quite a hilarious phase. And I don't think the consequences are so dire. I think there are other things to look out for along the way, which I also write about in my book. And I hope they can enjoy this ride.
Well, it's a very interesting book. And where can we find it? We just have a minute left, but I want to make sure we get that in.
You can go to my website, which is my name, devorablacker.com. But it's also sold through the Penguin website. It's sold through Penguin, Tarcher Penguin Books. I'd love to hear from readers as well.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. We'll have a link to it on momtalkradio.com. And the Devora spells her last name and her first name, DevoraHBlacher. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope you have a wonderful 2018. And for all of you who are listening either tonight on Christmas Eve, or maybe you're listening to a replay, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thanks for celebrating the season with me today on Mom Talk Radio. Talk to you next week, and I hope everyone has an amazing holiday.